This is Northumberland at 5.
Hi, and welcome to Northumberland at 5. I'm your host, Dan Jones. Great show for you today on this last Thursday of August. We will go to Trent Hills and hear why longtime Mayor Bob Crate is not seeking re-election as mayor. Then we will hear from a runner from Port Colborne who was recently in Northumberland raising money for youth sports. Of course, local music and community announcements all this hour, so stick around.
Thank you.
great to have you on the show this afternoon. Sandcastles by Lorraine Davies, amazing local talent there. Bob Crate says he will not seek re-election as mayor of Trent Hills and will focus on his local area of Hastings, contesting for councillor. Mayors of municipalities in Northumberland also serve on county council, and Crate serves as leader of county council. He says the county commitments are too much for him at this time, yet over the past decade as mayor, Crate and his council have overseen major development projects in the region with more planned. He says he's proud to serve on a council focused on addressing the needs of Trent Hills residents.
I've been mayor now for about 10 years in the range somewhere, and I still want to be involved locally, but as mayor, there's also the responsibility of county council, and I just felt that it was time for a change. And again, you know, we've accomplished lots. I've had a great council. We have our new Y. You know, we're close to the bridge. We're working on the hospital. All those things are things I want to work on, along with things in my own riding. Where, you know, we're trying to do some stuff with green space in Hastings, and so I just felt that I wanted to take a break.
Now, I mean, when you talk about infrastructure, I know the big one coming is obviously the hospital, but also the bridge. You've been a very vocal advocate for that bridge. How do you want to see that proceed in this next council?
Well, I think right now, you know, our staff have done a great job of getting ready for it. We've acquired all the property we need. We've done the studies. So now we're down to we need some money. And so we're now advocating provincially and federally for some money. And then once we get the go-ahead on funding, we're in the water. And we have to get it done. I mean, if we don't have a new bridge in the next 3 to 4 years, we're going to be in dire straits, because the bridge we got is getting there, near its end of life. It has to be rehabbed. And if we have to rehab it and shut it down, that'll cause chaos in our community. So,
now, one thing I noticed about your council, at least under your leadership, is how tight your councillors are in terms of getting projects done. It seems that you guys are all on the same page. There's certain development that needs to happen, housing, the hospital. You guys seem to be united on that. How did you get to that unity?
Well, I think what it takes is it takes people that have, you know, have sort of the same agenda, but also are willing to work together. And I've been very fortunate to have councils that understand, you know, where we're going and how we're going to get there. And so you work as a team. I mean, that's what it takes. I mean, I've been a hockey player all my life, and it's always been a team. So, and I think that's the same as council.
Now, one big issue that's plaguing every community is housing. Unlocking land, building. How do you see that progressing in this next council? And what do you want to see, maybe Hastings or even Campbellford?
Well, I mean, in Trent Hills, we've got a fair bit of housing that's on the horizon. I mean, we have the subdivision just on the end of Campbellford, which will be right next to the new hospital. There's about 300 in there. I noticed last night on Facebook that the fourth phase is opening in down past the recreation center on Haven on the Trent. So, I mean, those things are coming. The one in Hastings on Homewood Avenue, it's pretty well sold out. But we have the tannery land in Hastings, and we have the old, I call it the dance hall. People call it the auction hall, but again, there's more there. So I think, and council is very receptive to people coming forward. I think we're in good shape that way.
Yeah, I see a lot of the planning zoning meetings you guys are holding every month. So it's,
yeah.
But what do you say would be your legacy as mayor?
Well, I think probably one of them will be the recreation center. I think that was about 15 years of going, and it's been so very successful. You know, there's 2,000 plus members there. The read, everything's busy. So I think I'm proud of that, and I'm proud of the whole community. We're coming together. It's a hard thing to take three urban centers that were once all on their own and put them together. And I think that's one of the legacies of this council, is that we've worked together for all the community and not just whichever one you represent. I mean, I tell people, you know, like, you don't have to live in a constituency to call me. You know, I can advocate for anybody, and I'm willing to do that. So,
reporting for Northumberland at 5, I'm Dan Jones.
Bank of quarters, pack my clothes in.
And I want to conclude a great set of Northumberland-based musicians here on Northumberland at 5. And if you want to hear great music or you have an artist you want featured on my show, send me an email at danjones@northumberland897.ca, and I'll make sure I get it on for you in the coming weeks. A very ambitious runner is attempting to complete 21 marathons in just 3 weeks, all in an effort to raise funds for Canadian Tire's Jumpstart charity. Adam Saltarelli's goal is simple: to help raise money for children's sports by eliminating financial barriers. He says when he was younger, financial pressures forced him to give up on his favorite sport, that being martial arts. Now with the opportunity to give back, the Port Colborne athlete is running the shore of Lake Ontario, stopping in various communities to raise awareness and funds for his cause. He arrived in Port Open Coburg last Thursday and Friday with a goal of $5,000.
I'm running around the lake so I can raise money for Canadian Tire Jumpstart. When I was younger, I was trying to like afford, you know, different things like my car, some other payments and stuff. And I had to stop doing my favorite sport at the time, which was martial arts. And that kind of like that financial pain, if other kids my age had to deal with that or younger, I thought that would, that'd bring a lot of harm in. Tear people away from their goals. So I think Jumpstart's a great charity to support that cause and let younger kids get into the sport that they love.
So how did it come together with Jumpstart and yourself? Did you reach out? How did this come about?
So I did a charity run, a 100-mile charity run, actually this summer, maybe 2 months ago, and I called the PC 100. It was like a local 100-mile unofficial race I hosted, and I was able to just raise some money for Jumpstart. I just found them. I just kind of knew about their brand from local Canadian Tires and stuff, and I already agreed with what they did. So I put Jumpstart as the main charity for supporting, and we raised $2,500. And then I thought, you know what? If I can run 100 miles, I could try running around a lake. And then now that's where we're at.
So talk to me about the gear up, I guess the preparation for your body to start from going from 100 miles to close to 550.
So it actually didn't change that much other than I'll explain what the 100 mile training was. So like for training for 100 mile race, I hit a few 100 mile weeks. That was like trying to get in like a half marathon a day sort of in terms of mileage, bigger runs on the weekend, and then those back-to-back runs where you're putting your body through a little bit more than it normally would be used to. And those are like kind of like the growth spurts you're using to then keep upping it around 10% per week. For the 550-mile race, I just increased basically the daily mileage and then made sure, I mean, I wanted to focus on recovery and rest and knowing how to take care of, like, my body and my feet and prevent, like, chafing, all that stuff, because it's a multiple-week event versus, you know, 100-mile race where it's one and done. So just learning to be a little bit more smart on the technical aspect was big in the preparation. And then, yeah, just a little bit more mileage per week just to kind of simulate what I'd be running for the race, which is around 180 miles per week.
So now you've done quite a few stops on your journey. What's it been like going to each town?
I've received the most support from Toronto and then Cobourg, which is actually where I'm at right now. Yeah, they set up some tents and stuff for me, which was really, really kind. But most of the other towns, like, either just people coming out to me up in front being like, hey, we like what you're doing, here's a donation, or someone just like texted me on Instagram, dropped me off some food and stuff. So yeah, I've been getting minor little bits of support along the way, but for the biggest spots I've been, like, Toronto and Cobourg so far.
So do you have a fundraising goal, or are you just looking to raise what you can?
So I'm thinking we're close to like 3,000 right now, and the goal is to raise 5,550 in parallel to the LO 550, the 550-mile race. So that's the goal, and we're almost there. And it's funny, so we're almost matched up with the duration of the event. So we're on 67% through this race, and we're about 67% way through the goal.
So then how's your body holding up with the amount of running?
Good, actually. It's been getting better every day, which is confusing to say. But on day maybe 2 and 3, I was feeling kind of in the dumps, but then my body really just kickstarted itself and got used to it. And honestly, this week's been way easier than last week, which is really strange. But I've been just focusing on my recovery and making sure I take care of, like, my feet and, you know, that the other technical aspects along the way, just so it's easy for myself when it comes to, like, you know, eating, or, like, prepping the food for the next day and whatnot. So just getting, yeah, technically smarter and body feels great.
If I want to make a donation now that you've kind of passed through COVID, how do I go about doing that?
So you can still do it online at lo550.com, or you can go to my Instagram for at Adam Saltarelli, because you just click on the banner on my profile and that will link you to the little page I have put up for the donation acceptance. That, or you can go to the LO550 and there's donation buttons on there.
Community announcements are next. Stay tuned.
Looking for something magical, mystical, and a little unexpected? Discover enchanting new arrivals at the Black Rabbit Mystical Emporium in downtown Port Hope. Browse their newest collection of beautiful slip dresses, dusters, scarves, and totes from Market of Stars. Then check out their enchanting jewelry collection by Marina Smith. Over 30 years of artistry featuring whimsical, Victorian-inspired, retro-futuristic designs. Visit the Black Rabbit Mystical Emporium at 54 John Street, Port Hope. Check out their summer event schedule and follow them on social media and online at theblackrabbit.ca.
Here's what's happening in Northumberland.
Hi, this is Andrea with What's Happening. The Friends of the Wesleyville Village present live pop-up music with Angie Robinson Austin, Classic Country. And that's their last concert on Tuesday, August 25th at 6:30 p.m. The Concert Band of Cobourg performs Tuesday, August 25th at 7:30 in Victoria Park Band Shell. Concerts in Brighton's Memorial Park are Wednesday, August 26th at 6:30 with Steve Pitico and band. Movies in the Park. Come down to Port Hope's Memorial Park on Wednesday, August 26th at dusk and enjoy Inside Out 2. The Road to Cultivate presents Trash Panda Brass. Thursday, August 27th, the music starts at 6 and the Maker's Market is open at 3. Touch a Truck. Get up close and personal to all sizes and kinds of trucks. A great experience for the kids. It's Saturday, August 29th from 10 to 1 and is brought to you for free by the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee and held at the Keeler Center in Colborne. Windows on Walton, an historic walking tour. Learn the stories behind the facades in downtown Port Hope's best-preserved Main Street. Saturday, August 29th at 11 a.m. The Northumberland Players are holding a used and vintage clothing sale Saturday and Sunday, August 29th and 30th from 9 to 3, and that's at 450 Campbell Street in Cobourg. Rhythm Ritual at Forager's Farm. It's a potluck, dancing, and a bonfire, and it's Sunday, August 30th, starts at 5 p.m., 3533 Row Road, Cobourg.
If you have an upcoming event you'd like us to share, email info@northumberland897.ca.
At Northumberland 89.7, we bring you a wide variety of programs. If you miss a show, remember, you can always catch our special interviews and programs on your time. Just go to the podcast section of our website and select the show you want to listen to. It's all at northumberland897.ca.
Take care of yourselves and each other.